Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Darkness was over the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Centuries before Jesus walked among us, the Spirit of God was promised to him so that he would bring justice to the nations. Jesus sent the Spirit of truth to teach us and give us peace. At Pentecost, the Spirit came as the rush of violent wind and tongues of fire. That same Spirit is among us now. Let us worship God together. Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and now sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 17. For all who were led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Our scripture text this morning comes from the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Perithians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The church was born at Pentecost, and now Pentecost has become a sacred holiday on the church calendar. And of course, Pentecost has always been a holiday that celebrated the harvest of grain. It was one of the three official feasts that called the men of Israel to worship three times a year. For Israel, it was a harvest of grain, but for the church, Pentecost is a great harvest of the Spirit. Because of Pentecost, we reap a harvest of power to be a witness, an ability to be renewed, transformed, and live life in His presence. Because of Pentecost, His power is abundantly available to us that believe. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, are a Pentecostal church, even though our sign out front of the building does not say that. We are born of the Spirit, we identify with the Spirit, and seek after the fullness of the Spirit just as they did at Pentecost. I believe that we need a harvest of the Spirit of God in our lives once again. As witnesses, we cannot afford to stop seeking to be filled with His power. As the church, we cannot afford to remain the same. We need to be transformed. And as His children, we cannot afford to ignore His immediate presence. We as a church need that Pentecostal power once again. We need that Holy Spirit because we need power to witness to others. Acts 1 verse 4 says, "And while staying with them, He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You heard from Me.'" Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." There's a story that was told of a lady that went to a jeweler to have her watch repaired. He disappeared to the back and soon returned with it running perfectly. Surprised, she asked how he could fix it so quickly. He told her it only needed a new battery. "Battery? Battery? Nobody said anything about a battery. I've been winding it every morning for 5 years. A lot of Christians do not realize the inner power of the Holy Spirit to handle things they think that they must take into their own hands. His power is available to us to complete the task before us in the harvest, and He wants us to complete the task in His power and not by our ingenuity. You can see from our text that God did not dare ask His people to do His work without giving them the ability to do so. This is why they were asked to wait in Jerusalem until power from on high had descended upon them. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no one can do the work of the ministry as God wants them to. With the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 4 through 5 says, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel rests in man's wisdom, and the church would have a form of godliness without the power. The human body is a most remarkable machine. It can maintain a constant temperature of 98.6 degrees no matter what the weather is outside. Whether a man is at the Arctic Circle or the equator, his body temperature is about the same. There is an inner mechanism that makes the difference. For the Christian, the Holy Spirit is that inner mechanism to help us make a difference in the world. We also need the Holy Spirit because only through His power can we be transformed. Acts 2, 1 through 4 that we read just a bit ago. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fire is the symbol of transformation. Fire changes whatever it touches. The Holy Spirit took a group of fishermen, former prostitutes, ex-religious leaders, tax collectors, and various family members of Jesus and the other disciples and formed them into a united group we call the church today. Before Pentecost, the disciples were scarred. They lacked faith, and they did not fully understand God's plan. But after Pentecost, fire fell, however, they were all united as never before. Nothing earlier had welded them into one force. It took the fire of God's Spirit to do this. A story is told of a blacksmith who had two pieces of iron with which he wished to weld into one. He took them just as they were, all cold and hard, and put them on the anvil, and he began to hit them with the hammer as with all of his might. They were still two pieces, and they would not unite into one. At last, he remembered what he should never have forgotten. He thrust both of them into the fire. He took them out red hot. He laid one on the other, and by one or two blows of the hammer, they soon became one. The only thing that can build the church work in our day is God's Spirit. There has never been a program that has dramatically transformed people's lives, brought them from all walks of life, and turned them into a united group that can actually accomplish something for God except by the Spirit of God. And it takes God's Spirit to do that. The church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Society won't be transformed until the church is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 1 verse 12 says, "But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God." We need the Holy Spirit's power so men might experience the immediate presence of God. Matthew 3 verse 11 says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Acts 2, 6 through 8, and I remind you again, "And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" The manifestation in the upper room was seen and experienced by all present. The consuming fire of the Old Testament showed up. They knew God to be a God who answers by fire. They were familiar with Moses' burning bush, the fire that consumed the altar sacrifice. As Solomon was dedicating the temple, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. This was the proof of God's acceptance, that the supernatural fire that fell from heaven. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." At Pentecost, the individual believers had tongues of fire over them, supernatural fire from heaven. Once again, God sent His own fire to demonstrate that from now on, He would accept the temple, the individual, as His dwelling place. So that the believer is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the church would now become the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. John 14, verses 16 through 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." I thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I thank God for that relationship. I also know that unless I build and maintain my relationship, I can easily have that relationship come to a halt. On New Year's Day, 1938, in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It ran out of gas. And the whole parade, it was held up until someone could get a can of gas and refill the float. The amusing part of it was that this float was being represented by the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck ran out of gas. Often, Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance, and though they are clothed with power, they find themselves out of gas. In Leviticus 6, verse 12, instructions were given that the fire that fell from God should never be permitted to go out. It was to be attended constantly around the clock so that it would never go out. So attend the fire of the Spirit of God in our lives. It should never be allowed to go out. You must continue to nurture it and stoke it, that the fire doesn't go out but continues to grow within you. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit." Do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's important for us, friends. The people of God who are walking in the Spirit and flowing in His gifts ought to cherish His presence and constantly stir up the fire that He has placed within us. Finally, Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" The only thing that we are going to make a difference in this world in these last days is by the Spirit of God. Won't you share that Spirit with your friends and your neighbors today? Won't you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, thank You that I am part of the church, which is Christ's body, and that in Him I have been given the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that in His power I may tell forth the wonderful works of God to all with whom I come in contact. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth, and give me a teachable spirit so that I may learn the wonderful truths in Your word. Protect me from any false teachings which seek to distort the God-breathed scriptures. And use me as You will, to Your praise and glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit. His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill.
Your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears of sadness. Give Him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your land.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.